word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, it is a great privilege to visit with you on the program as we look unto Jesus, as we look unto the living Lord, our very present help. He is one who is never going to leave us nor forsake us, and his plan is that we shall be with him where he is. Now, wherever you are, it won't always be that way. Whatever dilemma in which you find yourself or whatever trial you're undergoing, it's not going to always be that way. Because, again, God's plan is for you to be with him where he is, and that nothing shall ever separate you and him again. Even the love of Christ, as we read in the book of Romans, we are told of his great love and how powerful this love and how we're knit unto his heart by this great love. Romans chapter 8, look at verses 37 through 39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor a height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we are in Christ. Christ Jesus is in us. Christ Jesus the Lord rules in our hearts. God in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, friends, listen to that. We are secure in Christ. And nothing will ever separate us from his love. He's not going to discover something about you in the future that will cause him to change his love and his statement about you. Listen to what he's already written. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So all of the world can come through Christ for salvation. There's enough hope in Christ to save every soul who's ever lived. There's enough power in the blood to take away every sin that you've ever committed. And the blood of Christ Jesus the Lord goes deeper than the stain of any sin. Sin goes deep, but the blood of Christ goes deeper and cleanses it away. And we're presented faultless in his presence. When God sees us in Christ Jesus, he sees us as pure and as good as Christ Jesus himself is. So go boldly before him in prayer. Yes, he knows about where you have failed. Others do too. Confess that before the Lord. Ask him to forgive you and go into the presence of the Lord in prayer. Go and live for Christ. He knows of your failure. And he indeed wants you to live for him. He loved you first. He loves you still. He will love you forever. And his plan and his goal for you and for me and him is that we shall be with him where he is. And his program is right on schedule. He'll not leave us out, abandoned, separated from him until we get cleaned up. No, he is so holy, he demands holiness, and he provides that holiness in himself. You have Christ, you are accepted in the family of God. Dear Lord, we ask thee to use these words to strengthen some soul today. May someone be made bold by this truth that nothing shall ever separate us from the love of Christ as we are in Christ. We ask in Jesus' name thy blessings upon the program. Amen. Now, today in the book of Genesis, now we will start with chapter 4, as we have started going through the book of Genesis, and I've told you that these first few chapters deal with the creation, how that the Lord brought the world into existence out of nothing. Evolution has no place in God's program. Evolution is a lie from the devil. Evolution is something that, or the theory of evolution that men posit, is their attempt to get away from their accountability unto God. Again, you know, when men start saying, now, this happened 40 billion years ago, and then there's something that happened 55 billion years ago, I don't care how many billion years they tack on, somewhere along the line, something's going to have to be created. Nothing's going to just come into existence out of nothing. God is. God always has been. He was not. He did not come into existence. He is. He is the eternal God. Now, don't try to figure that out. You have to accept God. Whereas the evolutionists, they start saying these things happened billions and billions of years ago. You know, I told you how that some of the ancient Eastern religions believe that the world was held up by a man standing on the back of a turtle. And then they said the turtle on which the man was standing holding up the world was held up by another turtle. And so these theories go on and on and on. Now, we believe that, as the Bible teaches, that God revealed his truth the way he brought things into existence. And when he starts out in Genesis 1:1, the scriptures, as he has revealed his will to us, says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We'll accept that. And we watch how that, as the scriptures describe him, he has power over all things. The God of this book is the God who created the world. Notice the men that you and I would say, yes, I wouldn't write that about him. These men had frail human nature, and they could go as far as human nature could take them. They could be as perfect as human nature would allow them to be. Adam, Eve, even Abel, he offered unto the Lord the perfect sacrifice. But he died at the hands of a murderous brother. Fratricide, committed very early. The murder of a brother. Then you look at men like Moses, the meekest man who ever lived. But he committed sin. Look at Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. But he committed sin. David, a man after God's own heart. But he sinned. Now, who is the one in the scriptures who's always done right? It's God. This is God's book. Now, looking at it purely from a human standpoint, when you write about yourself, you leave things out. But the Lord's program is of such, and of the Lord's power is of such, that his grace abounds. Now, he writes to us of man's failure, but he shows to us how his grace is sufficient. Men fail greatly, but God's grace is greater. We talk about the marvelous grace that's greater than all our sin, and tells us of God's love. Now, when we look in the book of Genesis chapter 4, we will see in this chapter that there was the first murder committed. Notice some feelings that do exist, or that did exist. First of all, the scriptures say in verse 1 that Adam knew Eve, his wife. And this is, of course, dealing with the act of marriage whereby children are produced. And Eve knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now, they had been kicked out of the garden. This is after the fall. all of these speculations that come about. And someone will say, now, what would have happened if Eve had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam had not? And what would have happened if they had had a child? God's program is sufficient. Don't worry about those things that God doesn't talk about. You deal with that which he's presented to you. Don't speculate. Don't say if this. And, you know, there are people who build their religions. They build their hope, should I say, on what they think might have happened or how they think things ought to be, rather than to see what God has said how they are. And so Eve bare Abel, and Abel, we find, he has work to do. He was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. He had to deal with sheep. Now, the Lord had made the sheep. The sheep were a very docile animal. The ground now has become hostile to man, whereas prior to man sinning, the ground produced fruit, and now man has to live by the sweat of his brow. And Cain is laboring in that which the Lord had said. Now, notice there are two things we want to point out here in the closing moments. The Lord killed an animal to provide covering for Adam and Eve. Abel works with animals. And we can probably say that the animals that were killed was a sheep, because the type is there all the way through. And then Abel labored among these sheep, whereas his brother Cain labored in the ground that had been cursed, and that which was the old way. Was he still going to say, I'll prove to you that I can make something good out of this? Well, the day came when they were to bring an offering. And the scriptures tell us that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. So he brought the very best to the Lord. You see, he had a love for the Lord. The Lord was first in his life, and he would put back everything that he had and say, this belonged to the Lord. He loved the Lord. You see, the way that you treat the Lord, the way that you do by the things that you have, indicate whether or not you love the Lord. Well, here Abel shows his love for the Lord. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5 of Genesis 4. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I mean, here is one who brings an offering, and he feels the Lord should accept his offering just like he did the other. Now, just look at these two again. Adam and Eve had covered themselves with leaves of figs with that grown from the ground. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now, he saw what God had did, and so he got over on the God side of the matter. He got over on the side that would take him toward the actions wherein the Lord chose the materials out of which he covered it, Adam and Eve. But Cain chose the other way, what his parents had first chosen. He chose wrong. The Lord rejected it. You can choose right. You can accept the Lord Jesus today. Father, we pray thee to bless the message and speak to hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.